A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. AIDS has left 12 million orphaned children in Africa. Some whole villages today are simply children left raising children. More than 200,000 people are dead in Darfur. Tens of thousands of women raped in East Congo. 1 million killed by malaria each year, mostly in Africa, where 3,000 children alone are dying every day. Columnist Thea Singer asks, "How can we hear numbers like this? And 5 minutes later, we are deciding what to fix for supper or what movie to go see." Singer quotes the work of Paul Slovic, Ph.D., to explain a phenomenon known as psychic numbing. Slovic explains, "The brain is simply not up to the task of processing a figure like 1 million dead. The mental deadening which occurs is almost a protective mechanism to, quote, keep us from exploding with grief," unquote. A kind of helplessness kicks in when we are surrounded with facts and figures of the suffering peoples around the world and the dying planet, which is our global reality. It is just all too much. Could this psychic numbing be exactly what Jesus is warning us about in today's gospel? Gird your loins, light your lamps, open immediately, vigilant, prepared at each watch. This passage leaves no room for thinking it over first. The thinking, the praying, the discerning, that's done. What is needed now is to hit the road in action. It is as though Jesus is asking us, what are you waiting for? Be ready at each watch. Recently, I saw a sign that read, "Darfur, genocide," and at the bottom, "Not on our watch." Well, people, now is our watch, and what are we to do today? What am I to do? What are you to do? What will we do to affect these numbers, these peoples, these faces, these lives? Just how ready are we when we need to be ready to act? We have behind us, propelling us, the power of the gospel. We have the power of the gospel propelling us into action. We have the promise of the gospel to keep us from being numb. We have the hope of the gospel to keep us from exploding with grief, and this hope will not leave us disappointed. With the gospel imbued in our spirits, we see differently, we hear differently, we carry ourselves differently. Is it only coincidence that Jesus heals blindness and deafness over and over again in the gospels? Is it coincidence that he heals weak knees, shriveled legs, and withered feet? No. No, because of the gospel, the disciple knows what E.E. Cummings has said, "The eyes of my eyes are opened." The eyes of my eyes are opened. Perhaps girding my loins is study of the issues. Yes, study of the issues that are underneath these statistics. Study in such a way that we can speak to them of others, as we peel away the layers of our own shared culpability. Perhaps lighting my lamp is piercing through my own consumer practices with a new consciousness. Perhaps vigilant upon the master's arrival is practicing what Albert Nolan calls patient urgency in the face of injustice. In any case, there is a must, a have-to, to this gospel. This passage actually reminds me of Mother Teresa. Here is a woman who did not ever let the overwhelming reality of the hugeness of the numbers of suffering peoples paralyze her, numb her, or leave her unable to act. In her eyes, as long as it made a difference to this one, just this one, she was doing something beautiful for God. My observation is that Luke's palpable urgency is here in this gospel to gear our minds and hearts for action today. Action on behalf of compassion. Action on behalf of justice. Action on behalf of the voiceless, the marginated. What can we do today to make a difference, if only to one? And how will I allow the hope of the gospel not to leave us disappointed? Perhaps our task today is simply to refuse to be numb in the face of these facts and figures, and instead to put individual faces and lives in their place.